Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we bring you the best information and fun-filled body of knowledge that we possibly can. As always, we're honored to have you, and we're honored with the fact that you are kind enough to bless us with your presence and that you listen to the Zurian Show. Today, we're in for a very special treat. We have a special guest on, a phenomenal person, martial artist, and professional. We have on the line today a gentleman that, you know, if you guys were in the martial arts world, wouldn't need an introduction because this man is just phenomenal. He's not only a martial arts teacher, he's a retired homicide detective for New York City, and I also consider him a friend and one of my teachers. His name is Gary Guillon. Gary Guillon is a, again, retired homicide detective out of New York. He also runs a phenomenal martial arts school and has also created many martial arts leaders and also professionals in the community. Gary operates the Elite Defensive Tactics Martial Arts School out of the northern New York area, Yorktown Heights. And I would advise anybody that's looking for some martial arts training to see this man because he is not only a phenomenal martial artist, but he's a phenomenal person, a historian, and anything that you want to know about the martial arts and you want to better yourself, you know, help your children, self-esteem, confidence building, all of those things, Gary is definitely the person to see. Anyway, today's class is, actually not today's class, I'm sorry, today's show is on bullying. Bullying is a problem that's happening all around the United States. And all of the horrendous things that are happening to children and adults that are being victims of bullying just really needs to stop. That's why we're doing the show today. So we brought on a true professional by bringing Gary so that he can share with us some of his feelings, some of his solutions, and some of the ideas that he has and has already put into practice, not only in his own community, but in the world around him, because he's also working to try to make this world a better place. Anyway, with no further ado, Gary, are you with us?
Steve, thank you for that very gracious introduction. I really appreciate it, and I'm with you and to answer any questions that you have.
Well, Gary, first off, you know, since we've got a little bit of time here, can we give the people at Blog Talk a little bit more about your background and how you came to get involved in dealing with the whole bullying thing?
Sure. For 20 years, from 1980 to 2000, I served in the New York City Police Department, rose to the rank of lieutenant, worked approximately 11 years in the narcotics division, and 15 years in plainclothes assignments and undercover work. Throughout that time, we, as a unit and myself, effected over 5,000 arrests in New York City for various crimes and various drug violations. And when I retired, I opened up a martial arts school to continue to teach people how to protect themselves and stay safe on the streets.
Outstanding, outstanding.
And I've been doing my school for the past, well, officially for the past 12 years, but I taught privately in my own home for 4 years before that, and most of those students that I taught in my home still train with me today. I have about 165 students today in my school, and I'm very proud of that, and most of my students have gone on to have great careers and have been invited to go to schools such as Harvard, Cornell, Drexel, you name it, all the top schools, MIT, Johns Hopkins. I've had some phenomenal students with phenomenal intelligence, and they all have gone and have come back to continue their training.
That is phenomenal. So, ladies and gentlemen, without a doubt, we've got the man to be on the phone, actually on the call and on the show today to share with us some of his tips and some of his knowledge. As you can see, Gary has a vast experience with dealing with what some of us would call the non-desirables and criminal elements. And what he's done is he's also taken that skill along with his teaching skills and his phenomenal social abilities to work with not only adults but also with children. And with that said, Gary, what are some of the things that, you know, some of the things that you try to deal with children that are having, like, let's say, low self-esteem and may become victims of bullying?
I've had so many kids in my school come to me privately before class or after class to help them deal with their bullying situations. The bullying problem now in schools is a great problem throughout the United States. Half the school principals report that they have bullying in their schools, name-calling, harassment of students. It's a very serious problem in the schools. Three-quarters of all the junior high schools and middle schools say that bullying or harassment is a serious problem in the school, compared to approximately 40% of elementary schools and 45% of senior high school principals. So the bullying really is concentrated mainly in the middle schools and, you know, in the elementary schools, more around the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grades than in high school. What I've done to help was a couple years back I studied a bully buses program with another student and parent of a student. And that started, it grew out of the fact that that student was being bullied in school and actually had to transfer to another school before we got involved in trying to control the bully situation. I've gone to schools in Yorktown, and I've recently been invited to go to a charter school in Washington Heights, New York City, in the upper Manhattan section of Manhattan, and I gave a bullying seminar there two times in the past month, and it worked out phenomenal. Matter of fact, while I was there last time, there was while I was sitting in the social worker's office before we had the assembly, two kids were brought in for fighting, and the social worker had to go out of the office. And you know, being an ex police officer, I asked them like, "What happened?" And they told me what happened, but it was something that could have been fixed right away, and I tried to deal with it with the problem at hand, and we came to some sort of solution before even the social worker even came back. This is my passion, keeping people safe on the streets, and the bullying situation right now has gotten so bad that people are committing suicide over these things. The main thing that's creating suicide is the cyberbullying, and you know, text messaging and things like that. So with the advent of all this technology and information has also had an effect on the cyberbullying and things of that nature. So you know, we have to deal with not only the bullying situation that we had when we were kids and growing up, which I had a bullying situation, which I can relate to the kids with, but now we have this technical bullying situation, which is also a problem.
Wow. So, you know, you've developed not only through the programs that you have, but...
See you there.
Gary?
Yeah. I'm here.
I don't know what happened. He disconnected. Hold on, please.
Yeah, hold on.
Gary, still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. We got disconnected.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
So, but, you know, we tell our kids, you know, just walk away from the situation, ignore the bully. That's what we give our advice to the kids, but the kids don't have the tools even to know how to do that in this day and age. You know, it's a terrible thing to say, but the kids are looking for solutions to the problems, and the parents are giving these old-time solutions to the problems that are really not working for them. So one of the things that I tell the kids who come into my office is that they should first and foremost should confront the bully and tell the bully, listen, I don't appreciate what you're saying to me, and it's not nice, and I want you to stop it. That's step number one. Step number two. Z, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Step number two.
Step number two is to tell everyone. See, everybody's afraid of ratting the kid out and, you know, and being a stool pigeon and all this other stuff. But I'm going to tell you that instead of you know, you're better off being a stool pigeon than being harassed by this kid for two, three, 4 years at a time. And that's what makes people do things that are very serious. That mean they feel like they have no way out. So what they do is they commit suicide over these things. And we tell the kids, tell everybody, tell your parents, tell your teachers, tell the principal, tell everybody, tell me, because I've dealt with it a lot of times, and I had to call the school and talk to the principal, and I had to tell the parents what's going on, because sometimes the kid is even afraid of even telling his own parents what's going on. So they tell me instead, which in turn I have to tell the parent. And they realize sometimes they don't have they know nothing about what's going on because of their busy schedules. And a lot of parents now are, you know, both work. So what they do is they pick the kid up and, you know, at school, and the kid comes home, they eat, they do the homework, and by the time, you know, they're ready to go to bed, the parents are back on the computer doing more work for their own job. So a lot of times they don't get that interaction with the kids anymore, you know, as opposed to when we grew up, you know, we were home for dinner and your mother and father ate at the same time. Your brothers were at the table. You know, these days it's not really that way for most parents. So they don't have the interaction they had in the old days with the kids. So I had to talk to the parents sometimes and bring the parents in to tell them what's going on. And then the third thing you should do is there's like three T's to this whole thing. You talk to the kids. You tell the parents. Actually, it's four T's. And then you have to mentally tackle the bully. If that doesn't work, because you know the bully is sweet and kind in front of everybody, and he doesn't show his mean side only when the teachers are gone, only when the teachers are absent, only when the principal is not around. Then he shows the mean side. But, you know, if the teacher tells the bully, stop bullying Joey, and the bully stops bullying Joey in front of the teacher, but as soon as the teacher leaves, you know he's bothering Joey again, over and over and over again. And then when the teacher comes back in the room, he's nice again. So a lot of times the teachers are not, trained to observe this type of behavior. You know, in school, the teachers want to learn to become teachers, as opposed to, you know, being investigators, detectives, or police officers in the classroom. But a lot of times that's what is necessary for the teacher and the principal to understand what's going on even in their own school. So in this temp school, they hired these social workers to deal with these problems that the kids have, and seems to be working out fine for them so far. The third team is to tackle. Now, I don't mean tackle like you see in football, because the Super Bowl's coming up Sunday, and you know, everybody's going to be watching the Super Bowl, and then, you know, it's not that type of tackle. It's mentally tackling the bully, because what the bully wants, he wants power, and he gains power through fear. All right, just like I always tell people, you know, a bully in school, when they grow up, they eventually become bullies in either the workplace, or they become bullies as in criminals. So when a kid is bullying you in school and asking for your lunch money and throwing you on the floor and tying you up and ridiculing you, those same people become the criminals later in life, because they lose their venue to bully in the school. So eventually they're either going to drop out of school or get thrown out of school, or, you know, and then they start their criminal career, which is another form of I always felt it was another form of bullying. You know, when a person gets robbed on the street, what's the difference between being robbed on the street or being robbed in a school when you're in sixth grade? So There is actually no difference. So you know, just the venue changes and the age changes. So, you know, I tell the kids to mentally tackle the bully. Now, how do you mentally tackle the bully? Well, if all else fails, if you talk to the bully, that doesn't work. If you tell everybody, you told the teachers, you told the principal, the teachers came in, the teacher told the principal, your mother told the principal, everybody told the principal, but the bully still is bothering you, then you have to tackle him. Now, tackle him first, you tackle him with your mind. You tell the bully, and you approach the bully, and you say, are you challenging me to a fight? Now, the bully has to say either yes or no. And at that point in time, you win either way. Because what I teach my kids in the martial arts is to not so much to kick or punch the bully so that it would hurt the bully or hurt themselves. What I teach them is to control the bully. In police work, a lot of times, you know, we had to control violent people without hurting them. Because if you hurt them, then you have to bring them to the hospital. And more times than not, you would get hurt while you were controlling these violent people. So you had to learn how to control the person through techniques that do not hurt, that just submit. So a lot of times that's an option, but only if you have the confidence enough to go to a school and train, you know, train with a professional, you know, train with a person that's been there and that's done that and has worked on their technique and knows how to control the bully in a situation like that. Yes, in schools now there's zero tolerance, which means that both kids are going to go to the principal's office. Both kids are probably going to get suspended. But I tell the kids, I'd rather you go to the principal's office and get suspended. If that's going to happen, if that's the last resort, then wind up getting punched in the face and wind up going to the hospital with a busted nose. So,
right.
I, you know, that's the last resort to this whole bullying situation. You try to avoid violence at all costs. But if the bully is going to attack you and throw you on the floor and kick and punch you, you have to learn how to defend yourself. You have to. I believe it's a God-given right for everybody to learn how to defend themselves. And people that don't know how to defend themselves, I wish that you would understand that it is your right and it's your need to learn how to defend yourself. Because there's people out there that are not nice people, evil people, and they're trying to hurt you. So I tell the kids the same thing with these bullies. I always relate a story back to when I was in third grade. And back then, we walked to school. There was no buses that picked you up. You know, you walked to school. It was a four-block walk to PS19 in the Bronx. And I had this kid who used to live down the block from me. Now, he was in my kindergarten class, my first grade class, my second grade class. So in third grade, we started walking to school. So this kid used to call for me in my house, knock on my door, and go, you know, hi, is Gary there? I want to walk to school with him. My mother used to say, you know, go to walk to school with Billy. I used to walk to school with Billy, and block away from the school, Billy used to beat me up. This went on for that day, the next day. The third day, Billy calls for me, and then my mother says, go to school with Billy. Walk to school with Billy. I said, I'm not going to school today. I feel like going to school. So my mother goes, why aren't you going to school? I said, I don't want to go to school. My father was shaving in the bathroom, and he calls me, and he goes, you got to go to school. Go to school with Billy. I said, no, I'm not going to school. He goes, why? I said, because Billy beats me up a block away from the school every day for the last 3 days. So my father goes,
wow.
Oh, yeah? We'll take care of that. So my father told me to walk to school with Billy. I walked to school with Billy. My father got in his car and followed us to the school. Unbeknownst
uh-huh.
to Billy. Block away from the school, Billy started beating me up again. My father pulled the car up and had a little talk with Billy. From that day on, Billy became my best friend and always protected me and never bothered me again up until sixth grade when I eventually left that school. So that's my bully story. So I know that you could be – and this kid was the biggest kid in the whole school. I know that it becomes very unsettling and very upsetting to somebody that is a little smaller in stature that you can't even go to school with peace of mind. So I relate that story to the kids, and the kids are all like, you know, they kind of understand it and relate to it in their own situation, where most of the bullying these days occurs on the school buses.
Right.
Now, the school bus is a very unique situation because the bus driver has to drive the bus, and there's nobody else on the bus other than the bus driver.
Right.
So, you know, it becomes a problem on the bus, and the bus driver doesn't want to get involved in being a police officer. He took the job because he wants to drive kids to school.
Right.
And that becomes a problem. So when you get off the bus, again, the bully becomes Mr. Nice Guy again, and the teachers never see it. So that's why you have to get your parents, you print the principal, and everybody else involved.
You know, that was very interesting. I don't think you've ever told me that story, Gary. I've sat in a couple of your classes, even your kids' classes. I don't remember that story. But anyway, that story is definitely, it's a good story. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, as you can see, Gary is a fountain of information. So he gave us the 3/4 T's, as in things that we need to do to protect ourselves and to protect our children from these people out there. And also remember, too, is that in some cases you may be helping this person that would have been a future bully or a future criminal from doing that because they were challenged at a younger age. We're going to have to definitely get Gary back on so that we can expound on this subject a little bit more because he's got a fountain of information. But before we go today, ladies and gentlemen, Gary, could you tell us a little bit, could you give us not only the name of your school, which I've already said, but how people could get in contact with you if they're interested in learning more or just interested in getting their children into martial arts?
Sure. You can contact me at 914-962-3267. That's the school's number. It's Elite Defensive Tactics. Also, you can go online and type in elitedefensivetactics.com, and you could get further information from the website. And I appreciate all the time that Z's put in to have me on the air today, and I appreciate everybody else that's listening to this broadcast.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, please share the show with anybody that you think could also use it. We're going to have Gary back, but all of these shows are archived, so you'll probably be able to either go to Gary's site or you can go back to the Zurian show on Blog Talk Radio and you can actually pull this show because, again, this information needs to get out. It truly needs to get out not only for our children but for all our youth so that we can do more positive things to step forward and to make this world a better place. And because of people like Gary who have done 20-plus years in law enforcement and 12 years in the martial arts as far as teaching and instructing people, we've got enough people in place. We just need to use them. So if you need that kind of assistance or that kind of help, or even if you don't think you need it, then you ought to contact Gary and you ought to contact other people like Gary that can help you and keep you from becoming a victim. Because as Gary says, that's part of it. Part of it is not being a victim, not fitting the part for the script so that you're not cast for the part. Anyway, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Gary, and I want to thank you for listening to The Zurian Show. Again, we'll have Gary back on again, and we'll delve deeper into this particular subject. But until then, Gary, to you and your lovely wife and family, of course, thank you, and you guys take care. Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Zurian Show, and as always, we are honored and grateful that you listen, because if you didn't listen, we'd only be taking a walk all by ourselves. Take care and thank you. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Z.